This is episode 3 Delta of Free As In Freedom. Hi, I'm Karen Sandler.
And I'm Bradley Kuhn.
This is Free As In Freedom.
And you want to skip a FOSDEM talk.
I don't want to skip a FOSDEM talk.
Well, not skip, but you want to delay.
Right, I want to interject.
You know, FOSDEM was in February. And
We run a little behind here at Free As In Freedom. Actually, the issue I want to talk about is, I think, timely, but now at this point a little old.
It's not. It is.
It's a little old.
Kind of old news at this point, especially by the time people hear this, because we're recording in early April. It's going to be late April before people hear this.
Yeah,
you realize that, right?
I guess so. I hadn't really thought about how delayed it would be when people would listen to it. But still, nonetheless, I think it's valuable to comment on. And what I'm talking about is the...
Yeah, tell us what you're talking about.
Is the situation from PyCon, the so-called dongle gate.
Well, I. Why are we calling it that?
We're not.
People, you just called it that.
I said the so-called.
So-called, yeah. So you did the air quotes with so-called, so-called.
It was the quickest way of identifying the issue, I thought.
Well, I mean, okay. So
it's problematic as a
term.
But the whole thing is problematic, and it's a very complex issue, actually.
Well, you probably want to cover it in part because on this podcast we've talked about issues of appropriateness at conferences before.
Mm-hmm.
We admittedly go to a lot of conferences. One of our listeners has called us jet setters.
Mm-hmm.
That was Fontana, of course. saying we jet set around the world to all these conferences, which I think I actually have said before that I feel very... Basically, the best part about my job is that I get to go to free software conferences a lot. Although, in this case, it actually wasn't a free software conference. It was interesting. I had this... Before we knew about this whole situation, on the way out of PyCon, I was actually at this PyCon. Just to let people know, the average attendee at PyCon did not know this was happening while they were there.
I thought they did.
We had no idea. I mean, because it happened the second to last day, and the last day is... I should say, during the main conference, there's a sprint days, and I'm sure it was talked about during the sprint days. I actually didn't stay for the sprint days. I left right as the sprints were starting the last evening, which I think was the Sunday. So by that Sunday, it hadn't gotten around. It probably got around that Sunday evening, and so it probably was a talk heavily at the sprint days, but the main conference, which is when it happened, it was not occurring. But on the way out, on that last day... I was talking to someone, actually I don't want to identify this person because they might not want to be identified as having said this, and I was talking about the conference, and I said something proprietary-ness. I said, this is a little weird at a free software conference. And he looked at me and said, Bradley, this isn't a free software conference.
Mm.
And I said, well, oh, you're right, because this is about the Python language, which is permissively licensed, and there are lots and lots and lots of proprietary software developers writing in Python. And those are heavily represented at Python. So while there is a certain free software-ness, because the core Python language and libraries are free software, it wasn't really a free software conference. This was, and I think this is the reason I'm bringing this up, is relevant to this issue. This was a general tech conference. It was specific to Python, but it was the general software community. It wasn't just free software open source people.
Wow, I hadn't realized that, because one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it was that this is sort of one of the few times when what happens at what I was thinking of is our conferences, so free and open source software conferences, that what happens there has become of interest to people outside of our space and talked about in the non-tech spheres.
I agree that happened, but I think that to call this, and this was, I was corrected at this on the very last day of that conference, was that this really isn't primarily a free software conference. This is a software conference specific about Python with, like most technology stuff today, there was a lot of open source and free software elements in it. Because that's the tech world now. It's open source and free software has been co-opted. And so
that's an interesting
it's
point.
Common
I
in the tech
about
world.
That before.
But I think it was a general software conference. I think it was specific
way,
and that was a specific topic.
Yeah, I mean either way I don't think it changes the analysis.
Well, I mean the reason it changes the analysis for me, and this is a point I think you and I have disagreed with on the past, is that I think generally the software industry is bad on these issues, just like free software is. I don't think it's a free software. The sexism is not a free software specific
But our
problem.
Numbers are a lot worse. So however you look at it, I agree that it's not great in software generally. I think it's probably a little bit worse in free software simply because there just aren't that many women around.
Yeah, but there's a heavy glass ceiling that I linked years ago on my blog to the study of this glass ceiling at full professorships in computer science. In lots of places, there is a sexist culture.
Stack up proprietary software and the representation there and free and open source software, we do significantly worse by like an order of magnitude.
Well, there was that thing with the Microsoft conference where that video with the... Do you remember that?
See, that was
another example. I have it on my blog.
I can't even remember what it was now.
Well, there was a reference to, you know, to size of genitalia, and then to fix it, they just said, or the other one. It was pretty bad. And I wrote a blog post at the time because I was trying to point out that hey, this is not just specific to free software. This became this big issue, which was actually good in a way when there was the how to perform like a porn star talk at a Ruby
and that was really
conference.
Beyond the pale.
Right, that was really bad, such that it got a lot of discussion and kind of the way you're talking about this situation at the most recent PyCon. And so it's been an issue and discussed since then. But why do you think this particular situation is unique or more important, or how does it sort of line up to those other ones?
Well, I mean, I don't know that I want to compare it to. I don't know that we need to have like a winner for the worst incident ever.
What's the worst thing
like
that happened at a conference?
Yeah,
ever?
Yeah, I don't think we need to do that. But I think that this is interesting for a number of reasons, because I think that what happened here is a little bit different, because in part because of the backlash that Adria Richards experienced, the amazing onslaught of inappropriate attacks. She was sent, you know, death threats, rape threats. She was sent, you know, sexist and racist comments. Her employer was contacted and was threatened, at least in the name of Anonymous, and they threatened, and in that email, there was a threat that that they would go after all of the customers of the, you know.
So, I suppose it could be possible that one of our listeners hasn't followed this whole story. It's highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely, but
maybe we should explain the facts of the situation.
Two
developers at PyCon during a keynote session. I was way in the back of the room, so I was nowhere near this. I was back by where the only place there were power outlets were way back in the room, which is why I was back there. But somewhere towards the front of the room, I looked at the picture and sort of saw they were sort of the mid-front left section or so. We're making what amount to basically, I've characterized them as Beavis and Butthead kind of comments to each other of an inappropriate sexual nature, certainly inappropriate for a conference. This woman, Adria, overheard them. She turned around and took a picture of the two of them and on Twitter released or quoted some of their comments with the picture. She also, as I understand it, went to the organizers and used the standard policy of report as well for a for the. You know,
okay,
for
I'm not sure. I actually thought that the tweet was the report.
The PyCon organizers said that the report was received in the normal fashion or something like that. Some words to that effect.
I think, okay, so, well, I'm not
but
sure.
Maybe the normal fashion is
Twitter. I think it was tweeted at them. I think contacting them is what the policy asks.
So anyway,
for.
So that contact was received, and
they were asked to. They were pulled out, I believe, quietly. I believe that happened, and the situation was considered resolved by everyone, actually, by the PyCon organizing.
PyCon.
That sounds delicious.
PyCon. like somebody. There's probably a project called PyCon that does something.
I think I'm hungry and want some popcorn. I think the PyCon organizers thought that the situation had been resolved. The people who had made the inappropriate comments thought the situation resolved. And I believe that A.J. Richards also thought the situation was resolved. But then, of course, because of the tweet, it just became this complete.
Well, and there was an apology which maybe you don't agree. I think was a kind of a non-apology. I think you might disagree.
It sounded to me like a real apology
from one of the folks, one of the men who made the comments. And nevertheless, both of the guys got fired.
I think just one.
One of the guys got fired, and Adria herself was fired around the same. And this all happened around the same time. I don't think any company made a statement that they were firing the people for those reasons.
SendGrid did.
Okay.
Adria's employer did.
Oh, they said they were firing her over
the
incident.
Yes. Okay. The other company, I forget what they're called now. Starts with a P.
Yeah, just all these proprietary, and this is my point.
The other company said that they won't comment on why, and they implied, I think, that it was a part of a bigger, you know, that it was one factor among many. So you know, so you're looking for what, the apology?
No, I did you want to look at the apology? I'm looking
for No. Sorry. I thought the apology was legitimate. He said that he was sorry he made the inappropriate comment. He clarified that he only made one inappropriate comment and not two. And he said that he's disappointed that Adria used her, I think he refers to her power, because she's very, you know, she has a lot of Twitter followers, to make this statement. Because it turns out that he lost his job and that sucked, and he really liked the job and he has kids to support, but that he still, you know, and then he apologized. So that's the part that maybe made you think that his apology wasn't legitimate. But then he goes back and he does say that he's going to be, that he's sorry, and also that he will be more mindful of his audience, whether it's intended or accidental, in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too worried about him from a because he's a developer, from a job perspective, because for those who haven't been to PyCon the last 2 years, that's the only 2 years I've gone. Companies are literally falling over themselves to sign up developers who know Python. It's kind of over the top, how the level to which there's a desperation to hire Python developers. So I don't think a Python developer right now who wants work and is willing to write proprietary software, of course, will have trouble finding a job. So I'm sure he will find another job just because of his skill set. He's very employable. So from that point of view, I'm not that really worried about it. The interesting thing is that because Adria is not a developer, but a community coordinator type position, she actually might have more trouble finding a job.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, this has been really tough on her. I have to tell you, Bradley, that when I read all of the comments on any of the articles or any of the posts that talked about this, I got physically ill. Like, I couldn't believe how terrible they were. So terrible that even thinking about them now, I'm getting a little emotional.
Yeah.
The attacks were so out of proportion to what I... Look,
but that's what people do on the internet. I mean, I know it's horrible, but everybody's horrible on the internet.
It was so escalated that people were making phone calls to, you know, to PyCon organizers, to, like, people harassing phone calls. Like, this got so big and so negative and so fast. You know, okay, I don't think that I would probably have behaved the same way in Adria's position. I know what it's like to sit there and hear those jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, to sit there and hear those penis jokes, basically, and to feel weird about it. And usually I just turn around and I say, like, hey, come on. Really? Come on. But I also know what it feels like when it's just again, really again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is it ever going to stop? And how? How can we make it stop? What can we do? There's nothing. I'm going to say to these people, you know, can you stop? Okay, think about what you're saying. It makes me uncomfortable. I can say that now. I can say that tomorrow. I can say that the next day. But how many times? So I know that feeling. And she and her, and Adria in her blog post talks about how there were, you know, pictures of, you know, kids on the screen, and how she was just sort of moved at that moment to post the picture. And again, I think, me being me, I don't think that I would have posted a picture. I mean, aside from the fact that I don't use Twitter.
Well, I think, I also, I know you well enough to guess, maybe it's not true, but I would guess that you would actually would have confronted them more directly and said something to them directly.
Yeah, I probably would have. I have in the past. I've only once or twice let that kind of thing slip when I've been too tired. Because sometimes you don't want to always have to be the woman.
Yeah, I think it's right. I think you're right. I think that it's that there's no reason that, and it would be interesting to play out the scenario again and have it a guy who gave them a hard time. Selena Deckelman and I once went up to somebody after a talk. I think I've talked about this before. Who made a sexist comment during a talk. During a lightning talk, and we went up after him to him after the talk and tried to explain to him. I don't think it was successful why it was inappropriate for him to do that. And Selena and I just sort of came from different directions and happened to both walk up to him about the same issue at the same time. But so I've confronted people directly, but I wonder if there had been a man involved confronting them, if the situation would have played out at all differently.
I'm sure it would have, and so. I'm so sure it would have. I mean, It's one of these things where, you know, in this, like, I don't know how to better say it, and I'm so frustrated by it, but, you know, these men's rights activists, you know, come out of the woodwork and so aggressively.
I mean, this is...
to send pictures of, like, you know, dismembered woman to her, like...
I agree with you that all that stuff is horrible. I think that this belief, it was weird because this belief somehow that they had a right to that their company should have stood behind them. I mean, I think that's I don't know why people have that sense. It's bizarre.
If I were working at their company, I probably would have apologized for their behavior and installed a rigorous harassment training.
Mm-hmm.
And then put in a zero tolerance policy going forward for comments made at conferences. I think the problem is that we have like this blurring of our professional and our personal lives. I work at home. I work on my couch. I'm always working.
Yeah.
You know, my husband complains all the time that I'm just getting one more email in, or I'm just chatting with somebody on IRC about something. I find that a lot of people who I know through free software are my good friends now too. So, you know, I conferences are professional for most people, but for some people come to Guadec just for fun because they like the people in their own community. They're their friends, they're volunteers. It's amazing. It's awesome. I think that's great. And for a lot of people, it's a professional environment and they're representing a company.
Well, I think you're correct that they're blurred. I mean, that's really the issue, is that the two things are incredibly blurred between your individual life. I mean, my individual life was in free software. I was a volunteer for many years before I actually was employed doing anything related to free software. So it really just was my personal life, not my professional life at all. I think the difficulty is that there is a culture that goes back all the way to the Usenet culture of really kind of just acting, just bad behavior that we've had as part of the technical community for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, we have like an immaturity, like that that's accepted. I was noticing this at a recent conference that I found myself acting a little bit immature because we were all goofing off and hanging out together. And that was the prevalent attitude. And so I kind of slipped into it. And then I was like, what am I doing?
So I don't think it's but the thing is that being fired for something you said, it happens. People get fired for things they say on their own websites. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people now that have talked about being fired for things they said on Facebook that was clearly not work related. So this idea that people are upset my issue with this was, it's so like me to find some sort of complete side issue and focus on it, but. The fact that we're all at-will employed in the U.S., I mean, that to me was... I mean, that's... I sort of looked at it and said, well, they're at-will employed. There's nothing that can be done. The company can fire them for any reason.
That's a side issue.
I know it's a side issue, but the point is how can you get upset at... They can fire them for anything. They could have fired them because they wore a red shirt and they didn't like the red shirt, yeah, right? But
the point is that they weren't wearing a red shirt. They were wearing a logo from their company.
No, I meant if they came into work and wore a red shirt. I mean, that's my point is...
I know, but I think that point's a real side point. Like, I just think that... you know, I think that what we're measuring is their behavior and the reaction from the.
So to relate this to a legal question, in some sense, since we're supposed to sometimes talk about legal policy issues on the show, does Adria have a cause of action? I know you can't comment, and you're not her lawyer.
Well, also, I'm not an employment lawyer, so I don't really, I don't know too much about it.
Well, I looked briefly at the statute. Since I'm not a lawyer, I have no problem like opining about this. I looked briefly at the statute, right? And if her view is and her feeling is that
this is a retaliation
for her raising an issue related to a hostile work environment. So PyCon's her work environment because her job center, which it certainly is. Yeah. There's no question about that because her job told her she had to go there. So she goes there and she feels it's a hostile environment, and she raises an issue that it's a hostile environment. That's a hostile workplace due to sexual harassment. And then they fire her. She could make an argument that it's retaliation for raising the issue that she was put in a hostile work environment. So I wonder if she has a cause of action. I would guess she's probably not going to pursue it at this point, especially how horrible things are. It's
so sort awful.
That would be kind of worrisome if she were inspired not to pursue it because of she was afraid of how it was.
Well, that's the thing that's so terrible about this and the way it played out is that it's terrifying. If you look at it, it's just sickening and terrifying, and it makes you think that if you're uncomfortable, that you as a woman in this environment should just get comfortable with it. Because if you speak up, now admittedly, you know, there are different ways of speaking up, but still, if you speak up publicly about something that has made you uncomfortable, then you're going to be attacked in the worst of all possible ways. You are unsafe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, I think that there, I'm just so used to there being so many bad people on the internet. I mean, that's, you know, it's with the, I'm thinking of this phrase, I listened to this report about how you can buy illegal medication on the internet and stuff. And it was a Planet Money report. And the end of it, he jokingly says at the end of the report, stay shady, internet, you know, and just basically this idea that the internet makes it possible to have the worst of everything all the time because
it's like
everything is there.
It's like an anonymizing aspect of it.
Yeah.
People, it brings out the worst in people. Although a lot of people posted these terrible things under their own names. Like, I think, I don't know exactly, but I think that some people combed that data. So, you know.
Yeah,
I used
to. It
might not be quite so, you know.
Yeah, I'm reminded of this quote. I can't remember where this quote is from, is it from like some Samuel Beckett play or something where some character says the thing that scares me most is the human mind because everything is in it. I think of the internet as, you know, the internet's the most horrible thing because everything is in it. It's like there's good in the internet, but there's all this horribleness, and that it lets people be all of the horribleness of humanity. Right. And it just because it's just detached and all the things that are true about online culture. And it's, you know, I used to be a lover of online culture in such a heavy way. And I don't really care for it anymore because it is this. And I think it relates to that. I think that if this had been in a workplace and it all had happened, even if it had happened at a conference 40 years ago, right? I mean, it could have been, there would have been no opportunity for people to act the way that they did. Even if there was a news article about it, right?
Do you mean about by 40 years ago?
Right, before internet, basically. Obviously, the world was more sexist 40 years ago, so it's a hard comparison.
Oh, that's what I thought you were getting.
No, that wasn't what I was getting. I was getting it without internet, right? Without an internet culture, without a social media culture of any kind. Pre-Usenet internet, where it couldn't have been used as part of the debate or as a forum for the debate, I think this would have been resolved a lot differently. Like, I mean, it would have been a bunch of news articles in the press, and
maybe,
and,
maybe.
And it wouldn't.
Maybe
and
not.
She,
people
know.
have ways of making example of people.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, yes, it's true that during the civil rights movement, hate mail is a classic thing.
Death threats,
that's true,
and
throwing rocks through windows.
Yes, yes,
all those things.
In fact,
that's actually my point. Is that in some sense the internet is just this. This lens that makes it easy to see all of the rocks being thrown through windows, right? It's not that we haven't always had this, it's just the internet makes it just so easy to act that way. And so, and you don't feel like you're doing anything wrong when you act that way, at least in the minds of probably some of these people.
Yeah.
Like to make those kind of threats on the internet, people feel like it's not real. It's related to what you were saying about when you're at a conference, you don't feel like you have to act professionally a little bit, right? I mean, that's the next level of that is that, oh, if I don't actually have to act professionally, I could act like horribly, and it's on the internet, so it doesn't count. It's like eating over the sink isn't real calories. That joke, you know, it's that somehow because you did it in a certain way, it doesn't count. I think people see internet culture that way.
I think the thing that upsets me the most about this particular situation is that because of the because a lot of people would not have taken Adria's action of posting the picture publicly, it has made her, the villainization of her, acceptable, and I just it really troubles me, because I think that people focus on how on whether that was disproportionate, and then there's this wave of reaction, and I think that the wave of reaction isn't evaluated in and of itself, you know, and I think that it makes things so much worse, and it's baffling to people who are outside of the technical space. I mean, that's what's amazing about this situation too, is that it got some real mainstream press, and you know, I've had friends talk to me about it, and I read somebody's blog where they said, you know, would I make a penis joke around a water cooler? No way. I would never do that. You mean that's acceptable and generally done? That's not unusual at a tech conference? That's really hard to believe. And yet most people who are involved in the tech space say, oh, I've heard people make that kind of joke all the time.
Right. And
we wonder why we don't have very many women in our space.
Well, it was just one PyCon before where there was literally that as part of the, you know, the whole snake thing that was done at PyCon before.
Oh, right.
And that was just 1 year before.
Yeah.
The same thing. Same issue. And the person who did that, and the reason I'm being vague about that is not because I'm not being good to our listeners. It's because the person actually apologized very, very sincerely. I felt that incident was the system working, because the person, it was flagged for them and they apologized very sincerely without any provisos, which I thought Karen and I disagree about this particular apology, because I think the apology had some was proviso laden. We can disagree about that, but I certainly think that the previous apology from the other incident was not proviso laden. I think it was a very sincere one, and I felt like it was the system working at that incident.
Well,
I felt like the system worked.
PyCon has a pretty good policy. It's the ADA initiative's recommended policy, and this is actually a good example.
The ADA initiative was there. They had a booth.
Yeah,
too.
I know. It was actually one of the by all accounts, it was one of the better conferences for that kind of thing. And there were a lot of you know,
yeah, that morning Jesse Noller announced that there was 30% women in attendance, which was kind of ironic that this had came out of that he was announcing that as this big success, which I was sort of like, well, is everybody really just applauding for 30%? 51% of the population, 30% here, and that's great success?
It is great. It's sad, but it's true. And that's the situation we have to take this in. I mean, this is how we need the context in which we need to interpret this incident. So I don't know.
And by the way, why are statistics broken?
What?
Because we've got this huge sample set and it's 51%. Why are women 51% of the population? What's the deal with that? What are you all up to? Sorry.
Well, I was going to make that joke about, well, we've got that, you know, but I don't even want to make those jokes anymore.
No, it's true. But
I'm just tired of these, you know, I'm just tired of anything that's divisive. We've got serious stuff to work on.
But the reason I'm really harping on this more than I should, it's not really fair, but it's the entire technology community. It's not just free software. This wasn't the free software conference.
No, but
primarily.
It's so much worse.
But this is the worst incident we've had, and it was not. It was at a general conference.
No, this is just the most well known.
Yeah,
we've had worse, much worse.
Historically, yes. I mean, there was the few we talked about. I have not been able. I'll link to it in the show notes.
And the off-color jokes is nothing compared to some of the sexist presentations we've had.
Yeah.
I mean, which I think, as far as the incidents themselves, are much worse. I mean, I think the reaction that Adria got is just so appalling that's the worst thing. It's pretty much the worst thing ever. But the incident itself, if you evaluate that, we've had much worse.
Yeah, I mean, I was at a LinuxCon Europe where the keynoter was talking about the Internet of Everything stuff and was saying, oh, the refrigerator is connected to the Internet and you put your wife on a diet, you can lock her out. Isn't that great? And I complained about that, and there were a lot of complaints, and that person was not invited back, and Linux Foundation, which already had a pretty strong policy, increased their policy and made it a little more zero tolerance like after that incident. But I mean, the thing is that I felt until this incident, I felt like free software, specifically the free software or open source space, I guess really open source space, I should say. That's where Linux Foundation is, not a free software org. But the open source space had gotten so much better. And here we are at a general.
We have improved. And I guess maybe this is a good time to plug the Outreach Program for Women, which is if you know someone, if you know a woman who might be interested, or actually it's anyone who identifies as a woman.
Will there still be time when this comes out? We don't know. It's the end of April-ish kind of thing.
Okay, they won't have much time to put in an application. But let them know. Maybe they can apply for next round, if not this time. This time we have a lot of organizations joining, and I think I just raised some general funding for it to go to basically just add interns that we think are awesome. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. It's made a big difference in the GNOME community.
Do you have a URL for this to give people? GNOME.org/...
Can you just look it up? We should get I think it's actually more complicated than that, unfortunately.
You should do a little alias thing.
We really absolutely should do
it. It's live.gnome.org.
It's live.gnome.org. Okay, yeah, it's live.gnome.org/... You just moved it. Outreach Program for Women.
And the O and the P and the F and the W are capitalized, too. I'm sure it's case sensitive.
Yeah.
Can't you just make gnome.org/opw go there?
That's what we'll do.
Okay.
I'll do that tomorrow. This will be done by the time.
So gnome.org/opw.
And if it's not, then email me because I promised to do
something. Because you could have just said that and just remembered to do it. It's like, it's a time travel podcast. That's what Dave Lynch called it. Podcast time traveling.
But in any case, I'm really excited about it. It's nice to be able to do something proactive. And we found in our communities, at least in GNOME and other communities that have participated, if you just get more women into the space, more women come, because it's a place that's very welcome to women and is, it's a safer space. It's more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so where there are women, more women. We increased our participation at GWADEC, for example, from 4% to 17% in just 3 years. But only a very small portion of those women were actually OPW participants.
Do you remember what Mark Shuttleworth said, that people get into free software programming to get girls?
No, but I did. And a keynote. I did notice that Mark commented on Flavia, who was a outreach program participant with GNOME this past time. She blogged about her participation in OPW and said she was sorry that... Ubuntu wasn't a participant, and he blogged saying that he would support an Ubuntu participation in OPW. I'm waiting to find out.
Okay. Oh, this just happened.
Recently. She just published it like 2 days ago, I think. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a great program.
But if it's in Ubuntu, you don't allow proprietary software development, so I don't see how Ubuntu can be involved. not to say that Canonical is doing all proprietary software development. They're just doing some.
Yeah.
But it's Canonical limited.
Get the opportunity to participate in the Ubuntu Women meeting a couple of days ago, also after this happened, so that I could encourage them to participate, and that was really fun.
Well, I think you folks over at GNOME Foundation are doing good with this.
Thanks.
And I had to say folks because I realized I hadn't said it this episode, and Fontana, I have to upset
Fontana. Well, I think that folks should think about checking out the GNOME 3.8 release.
All right, folks. Well, that's... do you have anything else you want to tell them about this situation?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just think that I just want to be another voice saying it really can be so difficult at these conferences. I really was the kind of person, I promise you, I was the kind of person before who did not like to talk about these issues. I really didn't like to make a big deal out of the fact that I was a woman in this, in a tech community. I went to engineering school. I really didn't want to draw these lines, but it's just so bad, and it's so often. There's so many incidents that
So the one thing I was going to try to wrap up here, but the one thing I'd add to that is there's a weird race to the bottom when there's where there's underrepresented communities. This idea that I never am in a situation where I have to speak for all white men because they're the dominant ethnic gender mix, right? So nobody asks me to speak for all white men ever. And I think women, when they're in situations where they're a minority, or any person who's in an incredible minority in a cultural setting, there it creates this weird cultural effect where you have to make a decision of that you basically represent everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that on the other side, right? I feel that when I feel like I have to represent all free software people in a kind of proprietary software context, it's not, I mean, it's not the same because it's not as highly politicized and as horrible, by any stretch, but it's, I can get a sense of what the feeling's like where you feel like I'm the only one here who has this particular thing about me. So I have to represent everybody. And that's unfair that people are put in that situation. And that has to do with the limited numbers.
Yeah, and it's not a free speech issue. That's something that I think, I mean, people should be free to say things. I just think in our conferences, we should strive to, you know, provide an environment where people don't feel uncomfortable and unwelcome.
Yeah, I mean, I think people misunderstand free speech. This is the sense that to have free speech, you have to be able to say anything anywhere. I don't know if anybody really believes that. I mean, I don't really believe that you have a right to go into somebody else. People can kick you out of their house. You know what I mean? It's like you can be kicked out of PyCon because you said something you shouldn't say at PyCon. It doesn't mean your free speech rights were. You can go out on the public street nearby PyCon and hold a sign that says whatever Beavis and Butthead-y statement you want it to say. Right? We have free speech in the United States, but it doesn't mean that it has to be everywhere at all times.
And if somebody complains that something you said made them feel uncomfortable, you know, it's not that you don't have a right to speak freely in our society.
Yeah.
They were made to feel uncomfortable, and we've determined as a group that we like to adopt policies like the one that PyCon has adopted so that we're more inclusive and we benefit from the diversity that we should have.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. As somebody who has had bad things happen to me because I exercised my free speech rights elsewhere, I don't have any sense that, oh, I should never have any consequences for exercising my quote free speech unquote. I mean, it's kind of, there are consequences to your actions. I mean, I think that those guys did recognize that there
was a consequence to their actions. You know, the problem wasn't, you know, necessarily those guys.
It was the people who were
quasi defending
them. Yeah.
And the fact that those guys, I mean, that they felt comfortable making those jokes
to begin with,
in the way that almost everybody. I mean, this is where the anger is that I could easily have been making those jokes.
Right.
So this is an attack on me. I could have lost my job.
Well, the thing that bugs me most about their apology is I don't buy this. We didn't mean that phrase to mean anything sexual.
You mean the forking comment?
Correct.
I don't believe it. I think it's irrelevant. They agree that the
but they didn't apologize for that part because they said that part wasn't that they apologized
they
for the dongle
part
but not the other part.
But
I think they're making that up. I think it's a post hoc justification. They found they're looking for some sort of weaselly way to.
I don't care either way. The first joke was enough.
I agree, but the point is that they were piling on with regard to how bad they were, and they're trying to like bring it back and be like, oh, it wasn't that bad because that one didn't mean that. I don't know. I think they're making it up. I don't believe them.
In any event, I would suggest donating to the ADA initiative if you'd like to see some change in this. Donating to the Outreach Program for Women.
Donating to the Outreach Program for Women.
Thanks.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah.
Can you give a restricted donation to GNOME? Not restricted, but a earmarked donation for OPW to GNOME? Okay. So. And where do people go to do that? What URL?
Just go to gnome.org and go to the donate button. Yeah, thanks.
And we'll be back with more FOSDEM stuff in the next episode.
Talk to you then. Freeze and Freedom is produced by Dan Lynch of Pod Factory and can be found at podfactory.org. Thanks to Mike Tarantino for our theme music. This episode of Freeze and Freedom is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 United States license. You can follow Freeze and Freedom, Bradley, and Karen on Identica, and also read Bradley's and Karen's blogs. Links can be found on the Freeze and Freedom website, faif.us. That's FAIF.us. Hi, I'm Karen Sandler.
And I'm Bradley Kuhn.
And this isn't... One more time. I'm so sorry.